In the gospel, the Pharisees are trying to trick Jesus again. It seems like this happens every single week. But they're not just trying to get him to contradict himself or to say something contrary to the law. It seems like this time it's much more serious. Right before this gospel, we hear that Jesus comes back to the region of where John the Baptist was preaching. And the question that the Pharisees pose to Jesus is the same one that got John the Baptist condemned. John the Baptist was beheaded because he was preaching against the unlawful marriage of Herod. So they kind of are tossing this softball to Jesus. They're trying to get him to commit the same crime that John the Baptist did. They're trying to get Jesus beheaded just like John the Baptist. And we see how he answers it. That first of all, he brings up Moses. But then he doesn't stop there. He goes all the way back to the beginning. He goes to the creation story. He doesn't just stop with Moses. He goes to the beginning. And he says, this is how it was in the beginning, that a man should leave his parents and be united with his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So we have to understand what it was in the beginning, in the creation story, in order to be able to understand what Jesus means by marriage, or what his point is in teaching this. I had a morality professor when I was in seminary who I really enjoyed. He's actually very dry, just read directly from his notes, but his notes were really good. And he proposed to us this question. He said, in the garden, before man fell, Adam was in a perfect utopia. Before even the creation of Eve, Adam was in a perfect utopia. And yet it says that he was lonely. This is what we hear in the first reading. We hear that Adam was kind of lonely. And God brought all the animals to him, and Adam named them all. And it said, but none of them proved to be a suitable helpmate for him, that he was still lonely after all of this. My teacher posed to us the question, he said, how could Adam be lonely if he's in a perfect utopia? What was it about Adam that caused that loneliness? And the teacher, to try to help prove the point, used the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. The ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, painted by Michelangelo, tells the creation story all the way up until Noah. And I'm sure most of you are familiar, there's just little panels up there that kind of tell the story. The most famous one is God reaching out to touch Adam. And we know that as soon as their fingers connect, life is going to be given to Adam. That's when humanity starts. We're all familiar with the picture. But what we don't really see is God's other arm. We see one hand reaching out to touch Adam, but his other arm is wrapped around the head of a woman. And all artists agree that that is Eve. That at the creation of man, when God was giving life to Adam, he had Eve in mind. That in the gospel, when we hear that Adam is lonely, the reason that he's lonely is because God wasn't done with creation. He still had more to create. He still had to create Eve, to create woman. And there's something about woman that fulfills man. And there's something about man that fulfills woman, that they complement each other. And that was the first marriage. And that's what Jesus is getting at when he says that the two shall become one flesh. The way that they complement each other is the way that they're supposed to be. Even though this week's readings are primarily dealing with marriage, I'm going to take the opportunity to preach on all vocations. A vocation is something that we know we'll be most happy, we'll be most fruitful, that this is God's plan in our life, whatever that may be. When I was in high school, I never even thought about being a priest. The thought of the priesthood was so bizarre to me. But then I saw young priests who were joyful. And I understood that if God was calling me to that vocation, then I'll be more happy as a priest than I could be as a married man. And that just blew my mind. And it's true. I love the priesthood. The priesthood brings me a lot of joy, a lot of happiness. I absolutely love it. I believe it's God's calling for me in my life. And I know this is where I'll be most happy and most fruitful. Our vocation is where we persevere through the struggles of our daily life. That as we go through life, our vocation is kind of what strengthens us. It's kind of our path to holiness that God is calling us to. So this week, I don't really have many profound words for you. I'm just going to leave you with a bit of advice that was given to me. That every night before you go to bed, just pray 3 Hail Marys for your vocation. If you're married, just pray them for your spouse. If you're dating someone, pray them for your future spouse. If you're still considering your vocation, just praying those 3 Hail Marys will open you up to the possibilities of what God could do in your life. That we don't have any idea, but we know that what God has planned is where we'll be most happy, where we're going to be most fruitful. So just praying those 3 Hail Marys will be able to open us up. And I just encourage you to really look at your vocation as a gift from God. That every vocation is hard. If there was an easy vocation, we would all do it. They all come with their crosses, they all come with their struggles, but it is through persevering through those that we become holy. So every night before you go to bed, just pray 3 Hail Marys for your vocation. And through that, we will all come to be doing what God wants us in our life, and we'll be open to his will, and we'll become the best Christians that we can be.